This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you all. I'm so glad to be with you again this morning, Pastor Brian de Villiers, as we gather around the Word of God to study it. We're coming to the end of our series today. We've been speaking about the great New Testament conversions. And today we're going to take up the study on a scholar meets the master. My verse is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 3, and this is what it says. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Bible identifies Nicodemus as a man of the Pharisees. If you read John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." There were three prominent parties of Judaism. At that time of Christ, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Essenes. The Pharisees were the most influential. They were the separatists. They were the Puritans. They were the fundamentalists of their day. They believed in predestination. They believed in immortality and a reward for good works that they had done. They accepted the Old Testament scriptures, believed in Jewish messianic hope. The word legalists best describes the Pharisees. They were legalists. They kept to every letter, every jot, every tittle of the law. But the Bible identifies Nicodemus as a ruler of the Jews. That's what it says about him. He comes from at night to see the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he does. He comes at night to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And this means that he was a commander, a chief leader. And the word ruler was used to identify members of the Sanhedrin. We need to hear that clearly. It was to identify members of the Sanhedrin. We read already in John 3 and verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to see Jesus by night. He came at night. And the Bible identifies Nicodemus as a master of Israel. It tells us that he was a master of Israel. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" He was speaking to Nicodemus. That's whom he was speaking to. And some call Nicodemus a rabbi. Others call him a theological professor. The word master means a teacher. He was a well-known and accepted teacher of Israel. There are many things we learn about Nicodemus from the Bible. He was a man of discernment and caution. Verse 2 tells us this man came to Jesus by night. He was very cautious. He discerned. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God was with him." So he was a rabbi. He was accepted. There are many other things. He was a man that was sincere. In verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" He's a man of sincerity. You need to understand that. He's a man of sin, a man of justice, we read. He's a man of love, emotion, and of great heart, because he was the one that appears at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus and asks for the body of Jesus to have it embalmed. So we see his love, his emotion, we see his great heart. A man of confidence. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." There we've got it. Nicodemus was a scholar who met the Master, Jesus. There are some wonderful truths in meeting between Nicodemus and Jesus. Let us look at some of them. Number one, a scholar meets the Master and understands that he must be born from above. Even though Nicodemus was highly educated, theologically trained, and a religious teacher, he did not understand that a man must be born from above. And Jesus told him three times that he must be born from above. We read it in chapter 3, here, verse 3. "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 5. "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Verse 7. "Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again." You see, this is not an American cliche. Can I make that clear this morning to you? It's the words of Jesus himself to this very learned, wise man, Nicodemus. He was explaining to Nicodemus that he must be born again. He must be born again from above. Nicodemus recognized Jesus was a teacher from above, whom he could not understand the birth from above, because Jesus came from above, but he could not understand the birth from above. You see, I want to say to you, natural man, regardless of his training, of his intellect, of his education, cannot understand the teachings of Jesus until he has born from above. You got that this morning? There are many people that tell you they can't understand. They've read the Bible. They cannot understand it. Let me tell you, you will never understand the Bible. You will never understand the Scriptures unless you've been born from above, unless you have the Holy Spirit within you to guide you and to direct you into all the truth. And Jesus said to him that you need to be born from above. Every person must be born from above in order to see the kingdom of God. And you'll never have understanding. Your eyes will be closed. Your heart will be closed. Your mind will be closed until you have that understanding. Number two, a scholar meets the Master in order to understand spiritual truths. There are many great spiritual truths in the passage for all of us. Consider them. One must have intellectual activity to understand spiritual truths. You see, we read in John chapter 3, verse 10, and this is what Jesus says. John chapter 3, verse 10, Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" He says to him quite clearly, "You don't seem to understand these things." It takes the death of Jesus to bring eternal life to a person. John 3, we read from verse 12, and it says this, "If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven, but you came down from heaven, and that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The new birth is necessary for all of us. It doesn't matter who you are, what nationality you come from. We need to understand the new birth is necessary for all. Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we need to be absolutely clear about that. Number three, a scholar meets the master and understands the light and life come to those who make a start. Jesus gives himself to those who are honest. You got that? He gives himself to those who are honest. Nicodemus eventually found three things as a result of his visit with Jesus. He found revelation. Revelation, as Jesus quoted scripture to him. He found illumination to his mind. The light of Christ was dawning in his heart, and he found deliverance. The three things Nicodemus found that night: revelation, illumination, deliverance. You see, Jesus blesses those who make a start. You got that? Those who make a start. Number four, a scholar meets the master and he's taught the way of salvation. So many people do not know the way of salvation. Even though Nicodemus was a rabbi, he did not know how to be saved. Here the master teach the scholar how to be saved. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. He says, Jesus takes him back. You remember in the scriptures in the Old Testament in Exodus, when the people were being bitten by snakes because of their disobedience, Moses was told to make a bronze snake and put it on a pole. And the people must look at this bronze snake on a pole. And when they looked, they lived. They did not die. Those who had been bitten, they believed. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus makes that clear. He says, you've seen Moses had to lift up the serpent so people could be saved. They looked and they lived. So Christ dies on a cross. Jesus, the Messiah, would come. He would die on a cross. And now what we have to do, in the New Testament, it tells us we need to look and believe. We look and we believe in the cross of Jesus, where he paid the price. When the people looked at that serpent, the venom of the snake had no power over them. When we look at the cross, the venom of sin has no power in your life and in my life. Nicodemus had not believed in Jesus. Consequently, he needed to be born from above. You got that? You got to be born from above. Number five, a scholar meets the master and does his own thinking. Someone has said that there are three R's of a traditionalism. A rote, that's a roster of things that you need to do. A rote, a roster of things, a rut. People get into a rut. Traditionalists get into a rut. We've done it always the same way. We're not going to change because we've always done it this way. And because we've done it this way, we will not change. And rot. There's a rote, a roster of things you keep, a rut and rot. Nicodemus broke with tradition and came to the truth. His tradition held him. His tradition not only held him, but it held the Jewish people back from seeing Jesus as the anointed one, seeing Jesus as the Messiah. There are none so hard to reach as those whose minds are filled with error. We must think for ourselves when we meet Jesus. You need to think for yourself. You know, people do the same. They're traditionalists. They say, we believe you've got to do it this way all the time. You've got to do it this way all the time. I heard a story a long time ago about a young bride, And her husband was watching her as she prepared the Sunday lunch. She had invited her parents around, and she took the piece of meat that she was going to use for the Sunday roast, and she cut a piece off, and she put it on top. And her husband said, "Why do you do that?" She said, "My mother did it, so I'm following what my mother did." He said, "Very interesting. Do you know why she did it?" "No, I've never found. But you take one piece, you cut it off, and you put it on the top of the roast. You put it into the oven." So when the mother and father-in-law came around for the lunch, when it was ready, he said to his mother-in-law, "I'd like to ask you." He says, "My wife today made the roast, but she cut a piece off and put it on top. She said she's following your example. Why did you do it?" The mother just laughed and said, "You know, I did it because my pan was too small. I had to cut one piece off and put it on top." And the bride followed. She had a bigger pan, but she was following because it was tradition to do it. Sometimes we can do things and we don't know why we're doing the things we're doing. You see, the religious people of Jesus' time, even for Nicodemus, they were going through the motions of doing religious things, but they couldn't understand why they were doing them. And even sometimes the things they were doing were not right. They were error. And we must think for ourselves when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Number six, a scholar meets the master and shows his colors. Nicodemus is mentioned in only three passages of the Bible, as we have read. In John chapter 3, we see he's mentioned three times, and I read those three to you already this morning. And in all these three references, Nicodemus relates to Jesus. Once he's talking with him, and two times he's doing something for him. I believe that Nicodemus has been too severely criticized. It is true that he was a secret disciple, and there's no premium on secret discipleship. We must be clear about that. There's no premium on secret discipleship. However, there were three instances when Nicodemus did show his colors. On the Mount of Olivet, Nicodemus showed himself. At the meeting of the Sanhedrin, and I want to read that to you this morning, in chapter 7 of John chapter 7, and this is what it says to us. John chapter 7, and I read from verse 45, and this is what it says to us. "Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, 'Why have you not brought him?' And the officer said, 'No man ever spoke like this man.' Then the Pharisees answered and said, 'Are you also deceived? Have any of you rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But the crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, "Does not our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?" And they answered and said to him, "Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee." And everyone went to his own. So there we see Nicodemus when he stood up. And then we find Nicodemus again at the end of John's Gospel. In John chapter 19, and I want to read from verse 38. John's Gospel chapter 19, and I read from verse 38. "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury." That's what they did. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. And so there they laid Jesus because of the Jewish preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. You've got that? You've got that? He was there. Nicodemus came. He helped when Jesus had been crucified. He helped Joseph of Arimathea. He brought the costly spices to embalm the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. George Pentecost used to tell of a timid little girl who came to the leader of a meeting and said, "Will you pray for me at the meeting, please? But do not mention my name." When every head was bowed and there was perfect silence, he prayed for her, saying, "O Lord, there's a little girl here who does not want her name to be known, but you know her. Save her precious soul now." There was stillness for a moment, and then way back in the congregation, a little girl arose and in a pleading voice said, "Please, it is me, Jesus, it is me." She did not want to have a doubt. She wanted to be saved, and she was not ashamed to say, "Jesus, it is me." Let me say this to you today as I bring this to a close. Nicodemus said at last, "Jesus, I'm your man." He came forward. He came to help to embalm the body of Jesus. He said, "Jesus, I'm your man. Jesus, I'm your follower." Every scholar and every person of every profession should make the same declaration. I'm your man. I'm your follower. Will you do that today? Will you say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, just as much as Nicodemus said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ at the crucifixion? Jesus had died already, but there he was, publicly to say, "I'm your man. I'm following you." Will you make that commitment to Jesus today? I want to say to you, whoever you are in the sound of my voice this morning, there's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's room for still one. There is room at the cross for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Where you are right now, you need to make that decision. Don't put it off. Make it right now. I'm going to ask you just to do a simple thing. Put your hand on your heart and pray this prayer after me. "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying for me on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for paying the price for all my sin, past, present, and future. Thank you for the finished work of the cross. I've put my trust in you. I now open my heart's door to you. I ask you to come into my heart, into my life, to be the Lord and the Savior of my life today and forevermore. I can't do it by myself. I need the power of your Holy Spirit to come in today to help me and to guide me and to teach me all the truth about you, Jesus. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on the cross, and I'm going to keep my eyes focused on you. Amen." If you prayed that prayer, Jesus has come into your heart. Jesus is the Savior of your life. I want you today, in this decision, to know that we welcome you into the family of God. You've been born again. If you're not being going to a church, then please go to a Bible-believing church where they preach the Bible, where they uplift the Lord Jesus Christ above everything else. If you need help today, some more counseling, contact Radio Pulpit at 021-180-5744. 021-180-5744, or you may contact me, Pastor Brian, at 021-552-4096. 021-552-4096. Mondays to Thursdays from 9 o'clock to 12 noon. I'll be only too glad to speak to you. God bless you for the decision you make today. And I want to tell you today will be the best day of the rest of your life. Make Jesus the center of your life. God bless you, and I thank you.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.